Hallelujah. We thank God for this building. Amen. Just the way it is. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to do the intro appetizer. Brother George is going to come. He's going to share part of the entree. And I'll come back. We'll finish up. Six years ago, I went before the Lord after almost 25 years of ministry, and I said, Lord, I've got a question for you. And the question was that if Jesus won the total victory on the cross and his death and his resurrection from the dead, then why are your people taking such a beating at the hands of the enemy? I said, Lord, your people today, at that time it was 2006, are not living as well as your children in the wilderness. Something's not right. Well, the word did say, if you lack wisdom, go and he will give you wisdom. Amen? Amen. If you fall into a trial, if you have a problem, if you have a difficult situation you are dealing with, ask of him and he will give you wisdom.
Yes, he will.
That's what I was asking for. I had a problem. I had a difficult situation. I saw Christian families blown apart. I saw children going in rebellion with Christian parents. I saw it over and over. I saw sickness and disease all over the place. I saw a church and a body of Christ decimated by the curse that Jesus died to redeem them from. See, Christianity is not denying the circumstance and thinking it does not exist. Jesus healed people of real diseases. That was a real storm he spoke to that was threatening to drown them. Amen? They really ran out of wine at the wedding. He didn't go, Mom, it's your imagination. We're not really out of wine. Can you see that? Christianity is not a denial of a circumstance that doesn't line up with the will of God. I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I didn't see souls prospering. I didn't see health. And I didn't see prosperity in the church. Lord, what is the deal here? Do you know the children of Israel were in stone cold rebellion to God? How many agree with that? Absolutely in unbelief. The word tells us they were in unbelief. And they were in rebellion to God. He fed them. He gave them air conditioning. And he gave them heat. And not one among them was sick. And their clothes never wore out. Lord, what's the deal? Are we not in the new covenant? Is it not better? On better promises? This is me putting 25 years, how long did it take you, John, to prepare this message tonight? 30 years. F- funerals where 20-year-olds of Christian parents are being buried, never having a chance to fulfill anything of what God had for them. But one of the things that I noticed the most, even with all of that going on, I noticed how rare it was for a man or a woman of God to get a vision from God. That God, and they knew in their heart and their mind what God wanted them to do, whether it was to build a church of so many thousands, or whether it was a ministry to do this, or a great ministry to minister to the poor, or whatever the case might be, and how the overwhelming percentage, if not all, never arrived, got short-circuited. We ourselves, coming out of a church that had 7,000 members in 1982, that has 700 now, if that, with a 5,000-seat auditorium sitting there built, ready to go. Do you think that was the fulfillment of the vision that God had for that church? Anybody? That he wanted 600 people in there? And the church not producing any fruit? Not sending anyone out? Not winning the world? Not telling the world it's saved now? Jesus died for the whole world. The whole world is saved. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation to tell the world, your sins are already forgiven. You are already saved. All you need to do is accept it. Not a message of how they got to make themselves better. They can't. They're in bondage to sin. Satan is their Lord. They don't know it. The powers of darkness, they walk according to the spirit of disobedience that works in them. Hello? You there? Lord, what's going on? You got to show me. I got to know. I need the wisdom, your wisdom. What is going on? How is it that there's so much shipwreck? I was there, I lived it too. That God had given me a vision, and it got derailed. So I know of what I'm talking about. Lord, what is going on? And it's not people who's our enemy. And as soon as we get the idea and understand, no flesh and blood is our enemy, whether it's the world or whether it's in the church. Unfortunately, we think it's in the church. And a lot of churches think the pastor's their enemy. Lay off the pastor. Lay off the pastor. God put him there, and he is able to make him stand. And you don't want to face the consequences of what happens if you don't lay off. And you need to tell your brothers and sisters and the Lord the same thing. Hush up. You got a problem, take it to the Lord. You tell the Lord about it, not your neighbor. The devastation the enemy has able to do in families because they can't keep their mouth shut. They think they have a right. God in his word never gave a right to anybody to touch his anointed. That's his business. He can take them out and he can put them in. He's well able. We get the idea that God can't quite handle it. He needs our help. Lord, what's going on? His guys toe the line. They don't get out of line. True, he does it by fear. But they don't get out of line. When he tells them to be there, they're there. When he tells them to go do this, they go do this. And see, Satan was defeated by Jesus on the cross, amen? But he didn't lose his mind and his intelligence, nor his power. He has no legal right to us. Right. Jesus took that away, but he's a rebel, he's a thief. Right. His biggest weapon is for you to think he ain't there. He doesn't exist. He loves it. Then he can run roughshod over any church, any Christian, any child of God. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. So quit wrestling with it. And that includes your own flesh and blood. You. Quit putting yourself down. Quit thinking how awful you've done. Quit thinking about any mistake in the past. At the same token, quit thinking about how well you've done. Amen? You hearing me? And the Lord said to me in answer, the reason why, he didn't say the church wasn't taking a beating, by the way. He didn't say his people weren't taking, he didn't say, you're wrong, John. Correct that. He said, the reason why the church is taking a beating and why my people are taking a beating is they're completely disorganized. They're completely fractured. There's strife all around, and they have no orderly plan. To overcome. In the book of Revelation, Jesus writes seven letters to seven different churches. And one of the things that I began to realize is that Jesus, in the writing of those letters, was not only talking to the individual churches at that time, he was given an overview of his body, the church, from the beginning all the way to present day. And as you go through, it's like a slideshow of the Middle Ages, of the time between the second century and Constantinople, as the time to the current Church of Laodicea, and here's what he said. I would that you be hot or cold and not lukewarm. That's the condition of the church today. It's totally ridiculous what people tell me. And they tell me, I'm not a member of the church or a church. Well, I don't have anything to do with the church. Are you saved? Yes. Jesus is Lord of your life? Yes. I got news for you. When you got saved and received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you became a born-again believer, you were in the church. Because the church is his body. There's not an option that I'm going to have nothing to do with the church because you get angry with a local fellowship or elders or pastors or brother and sister in the Lord. There ain't no option that you're leaving because when you got born again and the Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ and you became one spirit, you are now in the church, the body of Christ. The only reason that God has local fellowships is for management purposes. I can't be jetting every Sunday over to Cho's church in Korea. You understand that? And for the purposes of this, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8. Ephesians 3:8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul had grace to preach, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. The mystery was the church, his body on this earth, functioning. Amen? Do you see that? To the intent, here's the reason, okay? That now the manifold wisdom of God, the wisdom of God is the word of God, and the wisdom of God, same thing, right? Might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers, to the demonic realm, to that organized army. God does not deal with him other than by and through his church. If we don't deal with him, he doesn't get dealt with. Oh, God allowed, why did you allow this, God? Let me tell you something. Dangerous territory to talk about God that way. Job's friends had big trouble with God. They brought an offering. God said, I'm not accepting that offering. Well, why not, God? Because you spoke wrongly of me. You go to Job, my friend, you give him the offering, and I'll accept it because he didn't speak wrongly of me. How many of you want to assure yourself that you never will speak wrongly of God? Give your life to this written word. Give your life to this written word over everything else. You make this written word the highest priority in your life. You make this written word, you find the time in your schedule. You make time in your schedule for this written word. You don't know this written word, I assure you, you will speak wrongly of the Lord. To not read, study, derive, this is not a book containing the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And to attempt even, to begin even, to live free, to live in victory without knowing this Word. Make a commitment. You think the devil don't know this Word? He knows it. Because he uses it on us all the time. And he knows just how to twist it. Years ago, 25 years ago, whatever it was, I said, Lord, I'll spend the rest of my life learning this word. And I absolutely want to know it better than the enemy. How many of you know Jesus knew it better than the enemy? What did he come to Jesus to tempt him with? The word. Hard to tempt a word when you're talking to the word that he doesn't know. And the Lord said, my children, my people, it's disorganized. There's no plan. There's no strategy. They're fractured. They're separated. They're at odds with one another. And the next thing he showed me, he said, and my people, they're unprepared for prayer. It is. Got it. I'm like, God, you don't understand. I'm thinking totally different. The first time I found out a believer wasn't in the Word every day, ask Priscilla. It blew me away. I was like 2 years saved, had a home group down in Orlando, and it was a revelation. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. That's like being a human being, not breathing. Because it was just normal, I thought. You got saved, you born again, you're after God, you get in the Word, we just got it. No one came and said, you need to do that. It was an insatiable hunger. You and I, it's impossible to be led by the Spirit accurately if you don't base your relationship with God on that written word. Our youngest son, Michael, and the Lord was dealing with him, and he was at school, and he had his head down, and then the Lord spoke to him. He came home and said, Mom, Dad, the Lord spoke to me. I was in study hall, and I had my head down, and I said, what did he say? He said, Michael, why are you so sad? And he had a few things personally he was dealing with, and the Lord ministered to him. Then he came home, and we were having a Bible study that night, and he said, when you go tonight, your father's going to have a scripture. You get that scripture when he gives you that scripture, which I didn't give directly to him. I gave it to the group. He saw what it was. The next day, he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, how can I hear you better? Michael, who was 15 at the time, came back, and he said the Lord told him, know my word, and you'll hear me better. 15. Disorganized. Not even an orderly pattern to reading the word. And we're dealing with a supernatural being who has supernatural angelic powers, who can make things come to pass in the natural realm to deceive. That's why Paul said our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty to the tearing down. They're not of the flesh. Look at folks. How much money has been thrown at cancer? Do we even know? Could I say $1 billion and be safe? Is it gone? Is it defeated? No, because you cannot defeat a spiritual problem in the flesh, in a physical, mental way. Yes, we've protested against abortion. As heinous as that is, we have to recognize there's a spirit behind that with a systematic program. And with the protesting, and we'll get so-and-so elected, and we'll do this and that, and blah, 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 it's still there. You think at some point we would then go to the Lord and say, show us how to defeat this. Amen? Because He's Lord. He knows. He knows how to do it. He knows what's being dealt with, and He's looking for a church, universal. I'm not talking about a church in one location. He's talking about a body of Christ on the earth that makes known the wisdom of God to the enemy. And you too, on an individual basis, in your homes, in your life, in your marriage, in your children, in all of it, you need to make known to the enemy, the wisdom of God. All the time. Well, are you saying that's 24/7? No, I'm not saying it's 24/7. I'm saying you need to recognize it when the Spirit of God shows you and deal with it. I'm driving down I-4 years ago. She's home. I'm on I-4 in Orlando. But Spirit speaks to me and says, take authority over the spirit of confusion. It's attacking Persoa. In the name of Jesus, confusion, I bind you, come off her now. That was it. I get home, she tells me the story. How she was confused in her mind and she was under attack. Let me ask you a question. How long do you think it'll take for when a person leaves the body and thinks they're not in the church and goes out on their own for the enemy to pick them off? Not long. Because you and I, we come into situations where we need somebody else to hear. Had I not accomplished that by hearing the Spirit of God and doing that, that spirit of confusion that was attacking her would have taken hold in her mind. Because your mind is where you make all your decisions. That's the central point, and that's the essence and the beginning of spiritual warfare. The devil attacks your mind, and he plants lies. And he pounds, and he pounds, and he pounds in an attempt to cause you to believe a lie. The moment you believe the lie, you're deceived. The moment that deception is complete, he causes it to come to pass in your life. So the beginning of spiritual warfare is for you to warfare and protect your mind. Preparing the prayer army. My son's a first lieutenant in the army, and they're getting ready to go to Afghanistan. And he's at Fort Stewart near Savannah. And he calls every 2-3 times a week. He talks about the training and all of that. It is amazing the parallel behind what Paul wrote as he made an analogy to an army, to a soldier of God, the fellow soldier with me in the furtherance of the gospel. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is taken by violence. There's somebody out there with a kingdom who we, the church, is his worst menace from heaven. His worst nightmare. Say, I am the devil's worst nightmare. He doesn't want you to find out that you are, but now you know. Amen? I am the devil's worst nightmare. But don't think for a moment he doesn't want to fight back. The victory was won. Jesus won it. Now he said, church, put it into effect. Implement it. You're the policeman of the earth. Enforce the victory. See to it. I've given you the authority. That's better than anything the president of the United States could give you by far, because you couldn't defeat the enemy with anything the president gives you. Amen? And I believe now that God is about doing a thing where he's going to bring those out who are going to volunteer, who understand what it means to be a covenant prayer army person. Not the lukewarm ones, and certainly not the cold ones, but there are hot ones. People who understand that God put you and I here to destroy the works of the devil in other people's lives, in the unsaved, in that those brothers and sisters, to get them out of captivity, to show them. If they're out there and they're away, show them how to get back. Jesus came, why? To destroy the works of the devil. And one of the works of the devil is he had us enslaved. And Jesus broke that. Amen? Can we get that up there? Charles is our guy. Thank God for Charles and Lindsay and Philip. Yes, sir. See that? Can you see that? Can you see this? You might notice how Paul talked about the armor of God. Above all, put on the armor of God. Lord showed me, he said, most of my people don't even have the armor on. This is what the church should look like. Now, what would happen if you went into battle and this guy goes, I'm dropping my shield of faith. Pew. How long would this fella last if he went over there and took on the entire enemy? This is not only defensive that the enemy can't get them. This is offensive and they're moving out after the enemy. God does not want us living like, get the enemy off of me. He wants us moving. Jesus went out and attacked all the time. And a group of people that know when Jesus puts you there and he's sending you in, General Jesus says, you're going in, that everything you need is provided. He's not going to send you out where you have to worry about where your next meal's coming from or how to pay your last bill. Amen? He sent them out two by two. What was he doing when he sent them out? Destroy the works of the devil. When they came back, he asked them a question, didn't he? He said, was every one of your needs met? They said, yes, Lord. Every need was met. Amen. Each area, God not only, see, God's running the whole thing and the whole earth. And he gives to each one of us, and he puts us in a geographical area. There's a geographical will of God that you are where he wants you to be, because he wants you to have his authority to rule in the enemy's camp or whatever it is that he's attacking that area with and be focused on it. And he's raising up. He's going to bring forth thousands that understand that my place is here or there, and you stay there at that post, and nothing gets you out of there. Nothing. Unless you get orders from the general. And then you confirm those orders with those around you. When her and I came up here to Quakertown in the early 80s. We were in the church in Orlando, Calvary Assembly. There was a pastor and 11 elders. And we thought we heard, we knew what God was telling us to do. I went to the pastor and the 11 elders, and I said, this is what we believe God is telling us to do. I'm asking you to pray, and you come back, and you tell us. And if you say that we're not to go, you don't think it's God, I'm staying. We went back, he called me a week later, said, we're ready for you, came in, and he said, for the first time in 5 years, We usually agree on nothing. We agree, all of us, after prayer, yes, this is of God, and we'll send you out. Call us up in the service, laid hands on us, send us out. There is a protection. There's a protection there that God has put together. This is what it should look like. I don't see this guy taking his spear and running this guy through. He's got more sense than that. Well, how do we do that? With our words. Let me ask you a question. How many know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now? Amen? Well, look at the person next to you. They're righteous too. So why shouldn't we be dealing with them and acting toward them and talking to them as though they're the righteousness of God as well? Amen? So how could I say anything, make any accusation? Well, what about, Pastor John, if somebody's doing something wrong and whatever? That's the job of those that God has delegated authority to. Not the body. Trust me, I don't go around doing this all day long. I'd be hurt. We are members one of another. When one suffers, all suffers. Well, I don't see that. I don't feel that. You will. Every major ministry that had a problem in this country, everyone in the body suffered. Every member of the body of Christ. You think the enemy don't know what he's doing when he takes out a major ministry? He's damaging the entire body. And we're walking around thinking everything's A-okay. Wonderful. God has called us to work with him to put together, to draw together a covenant prayer army and to prepare people to understand what it's going to take to be in that army and to fulfill. I see thousands, us having a meeting in Philadelphia, whatever it is, there or elsewhere, down the road, thousands that have heard, and they go, I heard what you said, and yes, that's what God is saying. I know it's what he's saying to me. You put words to it. He's stirring me for something. And that they have that witness. And that I am called to this. And having thousands there out of many, many, many churches, and they get powered up. And they get ready. They go back to their churches. And they're prayer warriors. To the point where their pastor will come to them and say, you know, when you and your group's praying, there's so much stuff happening. What are you doing? See, we can't keep praying and see no result. We'll quit praying. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That availeth much means see great results. I'm not talking about standing in faith for 22 years and seeing nothing. I'm talking about seeing families come back together in covenant love and the enemy defeated. I'm seeing the children that are on the drugs and the alcohol being delivered right now. Right now. And turning around and understanding where that came from, and when challenged, never give it up. Jesus did this for me. I don't care what you say to me.
See, people on the verge of bankruptcy turned around into prosperity. Not in 15 years. I'm talking about now. In a day. And finally seeing the wealth transfer of the unrighteous go from the unrighteous to the righteous. See, the devil has control. He said to Jesus, "For I will give you the kingdom of the earth, for they are under my control, and I give them to whoever I will." Now, God's going to turn the tables on that, and he's going to put that money in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is going to do the righteous thing with it. Amen? Use it for the establishment of his covenant in this earth and in the lives of his kids. Amen? No, I'm not yelling at you. I'm stirred. Amen? And I've had people come. We share. And I'm not just pulling it out of nowhere. They come and they say, "You know, I've had that for a year now. And when you were sharing that, it clicked with me. That is it. I need to be a part of this." And I believe that Covenant Prayer Army said, "Well, you're the only one." Not, no, all over the place. People all over. He's in charge of the plan. Amen. We don't make the plan. We just go, "Lord, what's the deal today?" And take care of today and let him take care of tomorrow. Amen. That Covenant Prayer Army literally prayed Jesus out of heaven for the second coming. You know, God had to have people praying for Jesus to come the first time. Amen? Nothing of the will of God becomes established in this earth without prayer of righteous people, because his ears are closed to the unrighteous. That's why all of us who were saved, when we were in our unrighteous state, somebody prayed for us. Amen? Somebody heard God. Somebody prayed for us. And they may walk up to you in heaven and say, "You're the one I prayed for." Don't be surprised. Priscilla walked into a Bible study and a lady looked up and said, "You're the one I've been praying for 2 weeks." Didn't know her. When she got saved. Maybe George came. What's the deal?
I don't know. It's the wire.
Okay. It's the wire. And George came and he was praying and he had a vision. And God showed him something, a strategy, whatever it is. And we look at that, we pray over that, and then we put that out, and everybody else gets that. There's 4 things that this Covenant Prayer Army is to do when you up for it. 1, you will pray. You will take the time and pray. Amen? I'm over it. I've lived through it. Too much where someone says, "I'll pray for you," and never prays a word. Just walks off. Forgets all about it in 2 minutes.
praying, when we come together, you're there. You show up. You show up. Can you imagine? They put out the call, and only a third show up. They're not going to win. I'm not talking about last-minute stuff. I'm talking about you have ample time. You said, well, I just have the schedule conflict. You know how what I used to do, and it worked all the time? And I said this to Priscilla one time, didn't realize it. The 5 years that we were at Calvary Assembly and the ministry helps and the home group and all the things that God had us to do, we never missed once anything. By the grace of God. But there were times where we prayed and said, Lord, there's a conflict here. You have to take care of it. You have to change my schedule. You have to change my work schedule. You have to, and you know what he did? Whoa, he took care of it. We got people won't even try. Won't even throw it up there just to see if it'll stick. But why wouldn't we do it? Because you don't see one thing as a higher priority than the other. You see the one higher priority than Jesus is Lord. And the Lord said, be there. Amen. Oh, me. My son Andrew, when they call him and his platoon, he ain't going, I'm busy. I got a conflict. I got to go out to dinner. Ain't going to happen with the commander, okay? Because they know better. So much so when they went out training in the woods and one of the guys lost their rifle. They got back there and the commander came out and said to the company, 200 men, you get out there and find that rifle and don't come back until you do. The soldier thought no big deal. The commander knew better. You can't go into war and lose your rifle. Guys, you're going to a real place with real bullets and they really do things. And you lose your rifle? They didn't understand it, but he understood it. They needed that training. And you and I need training. We need to be trained. Amen? We need to be trained. We need to allow the Spirit of God to train us, to prepare us, to be praying. And not only praying, to deal with strategies and schemes of the enemy. You know what else they did? They went out there for training. They take them out in the woods. They stay there for days and days and days. Nothing around. And one fella, the radio man, lost his radio. They couldn't communicate with headquarters. They got back there. You know what the commander said? You guys get back out there until you find that radio. Are you guys that nuts you lose your radio and you can't talk to? They're radioing where the enemy is to them from the air, saying, communicating. We throw our radio out. And God's there. And he sees it all, and all we have to do is hear and see it, and he'll show you where the enemy's moving and take care of that. Because that's what prayer is, talking to God. But prayer is more hearing God than talking to God. Amen? So the commander of the company, he knew. You guys need to learn. You can't go in there and lose your radio. You'll get picked off. You'll get ambushed. You'll go into a trap. And we, as a church, on an individual local fellowship basis, on a church basis,
on overall, we're going around with no radio, trying to deal and make decisions in our lives and do things in our lives as a church, as a local fellowship, on an individual basis, when by the grace of God and His mercy and the gift of righteousness, that you can go to Him any time and get the best information. He knows everything. He knows everything. Have you checked with the Lord? Yeah. He's for you and you're for Him and the Lord. I know with your mom that's given. And the reason I'm not picking on you, but I'm showing you, there's a lady that knows how to do it. Amen? George, come up. Yes, they're still standing. I think we should make her at least a major. George is going to share with you a moment of how this will work together so you can see a picture of how to get there.
We're called to watch and pray. The success that Jesus had in His life here was because He watched and prayed. He watched what the Father was doing, and He also watched what the enemy was doing. That picture is the picture of what God is doing. And in a time, a few weeks ago, in a time when I was watching and praying, God directed me to a certain scripture, and we can turn there, Jeremiah 32, 24. And what this started in me was it developed a picture, and I believe God will start developing that in your hearts as well. And I believe it's just an example. I believe that as more take a hold of what God is doing, that you too will get pieces and parts that you can share with John and Priscilla, so that we put this all together. In Jeremiah 32, 24, in the midst of prayer and watching, specifically asking God to show me, He directed me to this scripture in Jeremiah 32, 24. Look, the siege mounds, they have come to the city to take it, and the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans who fight against it because of the sword and famine and pestilence. What you have spoken has happened. There you see it. The Babylonians have built siege mounds around the city to capture it, and they are attacking. Now, I had to do a little investigating to see what a siege mound was. I had heard of siege mounds. But again, what this is doing, that's what God's doing, and He's beginning to show us what the enemy's doing. A siege mound was a common tactic in the days of the Old Testament. Cities built walls, and we've read about the walls of Jericho, how God made them fall. But cities built walls around their perimeter to protect against the enemy. When an enemy wanted to capture that city, they would gather things from the countryside, trees, branches, stones. They would shovel ground and just bring debris, and they'd hide behind their shields, and somebody would bring the debris up there to build a mound to climb to the top of this wall and gain access to it. I have a little picture that I found on the internet. I wish it was there, but it's an artist's rendering of what a historical, from this person's findings, what they found a siege mound to be. And that's what they did. They would just gather anything they could find that would give them elevation to be at the same level as that wall and eventually come into that city and take it. So the Lord is saying that in that, it seemed to me that those who are building the kingdom of God are opposed by the kingdom of darkness and the thoughts, much like in Genesis 11 when they built the Tower of Babel. And their words were, "Come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves." So that is a gives me a picture, and it's I think of it every day. The Lord brings it to my mind every day. And I see these examples of what the enemy is doing to oppose the kingdom of God. First thing is the thoughts. The world is out there trying to make a name for themselves, right? Satan gives them that spirit that they've got to do something to prove themselves. Well, we have a name. We don't have to perform. We don't have to achieve anything. Jesus has made us who we are. We're righteous. So that's opposing the kingdom of God. These siege mounds can be words, they can be people, they can be anything that the enemy can use, anything. We can give him, and it has caused me to think, I can give the enemy things to do to build his siege mound against the kingdom of God if I'm not thoughtful of my words. And if you just listen to the radio or TV, you hear all these things about how you need to go to this hospital or you can get this knee transplant or all of these things. Well, the healing of God is there. Those things is a reality. Through by Jesus' stripes we're healed. These things oppose the kingdom of God. Those thoughts, those words that are flying around. The most brutal, though, the one that makes me the most angry, is that we as people can actually be used as this debris that Satan would use to oppose the kingdom of God. He's that brutal. And I think of people, and I think people will come to your mind that have been offended by something. They're out there on their own. They were in a church. They were functioning as believers in a body, and they're perhaps offended for some reason, and they're out there alone, and their mouth is going with negative words that Satan literally uses to oppose the whole. They think they're just drifting away and not inconsequentially, but they can actually, and we can actually be used by the enemy in his building of that siege mount. That's what angers me the most. Just how brutal he is to do that. So if that picture that was there is where we need to be, you see, the opposite is if we fall away and then we get used by the enemy to actually oppose what God's doing. Do you see that? And in this, what I've noticed and what I've heard John and Priscilla bringing out is that once we know that, once we know where we're supposed to be, and we know and we're preparing and training to be in that formation, unified, protected, in covenant, counting on the one next to you, he's counting on you, and so on and so on, and seeing what the enemy's doing, trying to overcome that, one of the first things, if not the first thing, that I have felt was the need to pray for pastors. They're God's servants called to build the kingdom. So you see, this gathering here tonight is not something aside from the church or apart from the church. It's support. And what I expect and what's happened in my life in the last few weeks, since I signed that little card committing myself to this, is that I have found myself praying for the pastor here, for my pastor and Pastor John and all those in authority around me and over me, because these men and these women that are in authority, if Satan can take them down, it's that much easier for him to take me down and my brothers and sisters down. So that's what I think the first marching orders are, as we're prepared and we're trained. These men who have given their lives and women who have given their lives to build the kingdom of God, they're being opposed. The enemy is using whatever he can to build a siege mound against them so that he can get to me and you. So that, I think, is what I know as of right now, is that these are the tactics of the enemy. As John showed scriptural evidence, he's very organized. He watches to see where he can gain access. He uses what he can in my life, in your life, to build opposition to what God's doing. So when I realize that's what's going on, and I align in that formation with others on my own, at my own house, individually, and when we get together as a group, then we can move forward and we can remove that opposition. And I can, every time I see these men and women of God who are pastors, we were at a church last night not far from here, and I felt that same sense that this man needs prayer and I want to pray for him, that it is going to get better for him because I'm praying, because we're praying. And when that happens, the kingdom of God will advance.
Amen. And what happened is George was praying. I don't know if he had a group or whatever. And he got that scripture and he had that and he emailed me. I had never read anything about siege mounts. And I took that and I prayed every day over that for 4 days. And God began to quicken and show me how the siege mound thing works. And one of the things that happens in the body of Christ is that when a person receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they come into the body of Christ, they bring the world in with them. And the world mentality is exactly what George said. Build something for ourselves and get a name for me. And the first step to understand is we already have a name. It's the name above every name. And the banner in front of us is Jesus is Lord. I don't need an identity of my own. Amen. And for people, as they come into the body of Christ and they see you and I and they see others that understand that, there's a defeating of that mentality. Anytime somebody comes in with that world mentality of making a name for themselves and they're trying to do this and that and the other, that creates division. And that's what leads to most church splits. That somebody works their way in and the devil is using them because he's got them in tow in their mind. Prayer takes care of that because God will show. God will show us. He will show. Now, George brings that out. I prayed over that. We talked together about that and we put that out. We're putting it out right now. And as you are praying, God will show you siege mounds. I don't want to be a log in the devil's siege mound. Amen? Now, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And by the way, let me give you a scripture for praying for the pastor. You can look it up. You may have read it. You may know it. The Word of God says to us, this is God speaking, pray first of all for those who are in authority, that you may live a quiet and peaceable life. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, should not ever be under attack by the government. If the word's so. Well, why does the church get under attack? Not praying first of all for those who are in authority? Because the word says, if you pray first of all for those who are in authority, you live a quiet and peaceable life. Quiet and peaceable is not being attacked like it is now by a government that does not want the Word of God, does not want it preached, doesn't want it anywhere. Well, am I on solid ground? Is that what the Word says? Amen. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody doing okay? Stand up a minute. Stretch your legs out. Say to your neighbor, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you can say now, I'm the one the Lord loves. Restroom break. The children in the wilderness had AC. They did. The cloud at night, during the day, and the fire by night, heat. How much more? Hallelujah. It's a big restroom break. Glory, hallelujah. Anybody ever hear of John Knox? John Knox started the Presbyterian Church. He was from Scotland. And Queen Mary, who was a, they call Bloody Mary, because of she ruled the British Empire at that time, and she was brutal. And she made this statement. She said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear any army on earth." I said, "Lord, make my prayers like that." You know what he prayed? "Lord, give me Scotland. Lord, give me Scotland. Lord, give me Scotland." And the Queen of England was afraid because he was praying more than any army on earth. I've gone back to Martin Luther and I try to study the great men of God and things that happened where they affected the world. Martin Luther brought that revelation God gave him by grace through faith. Martin Luther, God used that man, took the world out of the dark ages. When you study history in school, they don't say that. They say, "Oh, Renaissance came, and that now there was art, and there was creativity, and there were inventions, and all that." That all came from God. What you think? Do you really think for a minute that man thought up the internet? No, it came from God. It all came from God. Without God, you see, man has no ability to create. I'm just throwing this in free. Only God can create. And by the way, Satan can't create anything either. Only thing he can do is try to take what God has created and twist it around. He'll take man, who God created. You see, man's precious from the beginning. We're not worthless nobodies. God's point of view was, from day one, you're worth all the money in the world. That unworthiness and all that kind of stuff, that's all ploy of the enemy. God knew we had value. Amen? He knew that. So Satan moves in and takes God's creation and he tries to pervert it for his use. And it succeeded in so many cases. Jesus comes back, gets us out of that bondage, frees us to where now we have choice. Every born-again believer has a choice whether to sin or not. I don't care what you tell me. Anything else is a lie. You understand? You have power over sin. The world doesn't. They're in bondage. They can't get out. The harder they try, the worse it gets. Jesus came, the power of his resurrection, and he freed us. And every saint of God has a choice when tempted whether to sin or not. "Oh, I couldn't help it. I had to." That's a lie. Well, what is the first problem? They're not taught that that's the truth. So they don't have that truth. The devil comes in and lies, and they believe the lie. There's a stronghold in their mind. "Oh, you have a sin nature." Hey, God don't have a sin nature. And I'm the righteousness of God, so I got no sin nature. I'm a new creation, and when I became a new creation, God put his nature in me and took that devil nature out. Now, when you know that in your mind, and you absolutely know that, there is no sin will overtake you. I'm not angry with you. I'm just excited because it's so true. Amen? Your flesh has no will of its own. It just wants whatever you give it. So let me suggest to you what you do with your flesh from this point on. Get it addicted to the Word. And if you're kind of bypassing, it'll scream at you, get in the Word. I need some. The only thing your flesh will not get addicted to is water. I don't know why, but it will everything else. Whatever you give it. I've seen the muscle guys working out. George can tell you. I bet you he could tell you this. When he was working out regular and he missed a day or two, his flesh was hurting, saying, you need to work out. Right? How about this? You're not in the Word for a day or two. Your flesh is screaming at you. Amen? That was all free. Ephesians chapter 4. I can tell you this, despite that, I've lost 39 pounds. But I can tell you this, okay? I don't think I've overeaten once in the last 15 years. And I learned something. That you cannot control your flesh with rules. That's why diets don't work. Paul says it does nothing for the indulgence of the flesh. The only way you control your flesh, everyone know how to control your flesh? Does anybody ever have the flesh kind of, you don't feel like getting up? Sleep and food. There's the biggies. I know I have to get up, but I'm going to get an extra hour. Huh? Anybody better there but beside me? You have to talk to it. Your words are the only thing that will control your flesh. It does not have dominion. James chapter 3, what controls the body? The tongue. You want to sleep and out? Get up in the name of Jesus. Now. Monday mornings are tough for me. Monday morning. Oh. Huh? It's tough. But I've learned to get tough with my flesh and say, get up. Get up in the name of Jesus. Don't you argue with me. See, the word Romans says we owe nothing to the flesh. We're not debtor to the flesh. Flesh will say, you owe me. You owe me sleep. You owe me. You owe me this. You owe me that. You owe. I don't owe you nothing. Shut up. Amen? Flesh will fight you on praying, but you want to get your flesh addicted to praying. Amen? Get over there and open your mouth and pray. You know the hardest part I found? It's the starting. Once you're into it, it goes. Well, what's happening? This is your early training. Okay, you're being trained. Look at Ephesians 4 and I'll show you. Verse 11, Ephesians 4, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. The work of the ministry. Like George said, We're not trying to start something opposed to any local church. We're not trying to do something like a alongside of. We just want to do our share to the edifying of the body of Christ, whosoever will. Any church that wants to come on board, local church, anybody that wants to come on board. Amen? And the fivefold ministry, by the way, the person's not the gift. It's the grace God put in them that's the gift. Trust me, I'm not the gift. The grace God put in me is the gift. Okay? Because I know me later. Don't ever exalt a human being. And don't ever follow a human being. Jesus is Lord. Now he'll place you as he pleases in the body. And he'll say, that's your pastor. He didn't say he's perfect, he's your pastor. Or she's perfect, she is. He didn't say that. But his grace is sufficient. Amen? His grace is sufficient. Now, that means we must be willing to be equipped. Amen? Now, God doesn't have any other way of equipping us other than the fivefold ministry. But here's how the fivefold ministry should work. As you are in the Word, as you're getting to know that written word, as you're spending time in there, and God begins to show you things and give you revelation, that fivefold ministry is there to water the seed that God has already planted in you. And you say, well, he or she's talking about, yeah, that's filling in the blanks for me. I have a witness to that. Yeah, that was what God was saying to me just yesterday morning when I was in the Word. And sometimes you go, Lord, I don't quite understand what that... And later on, a couple days later, whatever, there's the answer coming. Because God knows you asked that question. Sometimes I minister and I walk off going, man, I was all over the place. It's like a smorgasbord today. You know why? There was probably a smorgasbord of questions that the Spirit of God wanted answered. Amen? Are you willing to be equipped? Well, you have to show up. Amen? You have to up for the course and say, I'm willing to be equipped. What is it to be equipped? To make fit, preparing, training, perfecting, making fully qualified for service. In the classical language, the word is used for setting a bone during surgery. The great physician is now making all the necessary adjustments so the church will not be out of joint. And we've had a church out of joint and members out of joint. And we're trying to defend and attack and defend out of joint. Remember this. If you remember this, one thing I tell you, this will do a lot for you to walk in the blessing, to see God do great things for you. How many of you want to hear this? Raise your hand. I want to know if I got the right group here. Okay. God places all of us in the body, as a member, as he pleases. He does not negotiate. It is non-negotiable. To go to God and say, I would do better here, or I would do better there, in the face of it is a joke. You're talking to somebody who knows the beginning from the end. You're talking to somebody who knows everything. You're talking to somebody who knows exactly what's going to happen. You're talking about somebody that created all of what we enjoy. He created you and me. And you're standing there before God Almighty. Recognize who you're talking to before you say, you know, I think I'd do better over in that town doing that job. I think I'll go there. Who are we to put our wisdom up against his wisdom? You follow, here it is. You follow, you listen to, you obey who you worship. What I described to you is worship. He is my God. Money's not my God. Fame's not my God. Building something for myself is not my God. My house, my car, my stuff, my reputation, whether or not people like me or not, they are not my God. If you're your own God, you're going to argue with God. You're going to tell him, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to be over there in that fellowship. I'm not going to be living in that town. I'm not going to take that job. I'm not going to go into this business. I'm not going to do this career. I'm going to do what I think best. And I'll tell you something. You're in for a dose of hell. It's not that hard. Don't make it hard. God's more than willing to show you. He's more than willing to let you know. Him letting you know, and here's the biggest problem. This is preparing to pray. This is preparing to be in a covenant army. The biggest problem we have in hearing God, we think it's up to us and not him. I learned a long time ago, Lord, it's not up to me to hear. It's up to you to get it across to me. And you're well able. And the Lord spoke to me and said, John, you think you're that tough? You think you're that tough? I can't get it across to you exactly what my will is? He said, do you think you make one mistake, I can't get my will done in your life? No, Lord, I know better. Sometimes when he asks me that, I don't argue with him. What he just did is put his finger on it. You're running around thinking you made one mistake. I can't get it done in your life. Get rid of that. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. He's bigger than that. Amen? But it's our choice all the time. All the time, it's our choice. What do you want? Amen? Equipping. Lord, equip me. Priscilla and I read that verse. We were like a year and a half saved. We went over that. Prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I see that. Equip us. Amen. Can you see that? I'm going to give you one more thing. Take two more minutes. The armor of God. What is the first thing in the armor of God? The belt of truth. Okay? Everything else in the armor, the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, the shoes, all attached to the belt. If the belt's not there, nothing else can be attached to it, and you are armorless. Now, what is the loin belt or the belt of truth? Thy word is truth. Jesus said, word is truth. This is the only part of the armor that we visibly see, that God gave to us and we hold it in our hands. The loin belt is the written word of God. How do I put that on? I know it. I read it. I study it. I learn it. If you don't have this, you haven't put the belt of truth on, you'll be tricked in a minute. and you are armorless. The Lord said to me, they're unprepared. See, the full armor of God prepares you for verse 18. By all prayer and supplication, pray for the saints. Because you will get attacked by the enemy in the midst of your praying. And certainly afterwards, to give you 15 reasons why it ain't going to happen. And you'll buy it. It'll get in your mind. You're unworthy. You didn't do enough. You can't possibly expect God to answer your prayer. Look at this. You haven't done this. You haven't done enough. You need to do more. You know, the other day, blah, 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 blah. What is that? No breastplate of righteousness, and he's just drilling you through the chest, in the heart, in the heart, in the heart, in the heart, in the heart. Because the breastplate of righteousness is not on. See, the armor's designed that nothing gets through. See, he don't know who, the enemy can't identify us when we're in there. He thinks it's Jesus. And he found no place in Jesus. Okay? So God said, he'll find no place in you. Let me add this one last thing. Not only do you control your flesh with the words, your mind does not have control of you. It is not allowed to think whatever it wants to. It's not allowed to run off with all kinds of fear and dread and, oh, this is going to happen. And also, is that mad at me? Blah, 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 and on, out of control. The world's there, and they're taking Valium and this and that and all that for one reason. Their mind's gone crazy with thoughts. No, 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 no. Our words, mine, you get on the word. Hush up. You do what I tell you. Amen? Listen, you look at me right now. You're looking at me like what I'm describing never happens to you. Trust me. If it happened to me, it happens to you. And it's happened to me. When you can't sleep, why can't you sleep? Because there's no peace in your mind. Your mind and the thoughts are keeping you up. Shake your head up and down and say, I see that. I see that. I see that. Well, you don't have to have one more day where that happens. Everything that's named, heaven, earth, under the earth, must bow to the name of Jesus. It has to obey. Amen? So as we get equipped, and we're equipping, the first thing we're going to be getting equipped in, we're heading into this, is our mind. It is to be our servant, not our master. The only way the enemy can get at you is through your mind. You have not been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. When you were unsaved, you had a spirit of fear, a spirit that was locked into fear. Spirit, you were locked in that. That was torment. And the fear then, before you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, that fear rose up in you. And you felt that scare. When you got born again, that fear was removed, replaced by a spirit of faith, confidence. That, now understand this. This is basic for prayer and going in, soldier, armor. Basic. Fear can only get at you now from the outside if you let it in, never from the inside. And all fear is from the enemy. All of it. It's not wisdom. Okay? It's not a little bit of fear is okay. It's not learning to control it. I hear athletes, they say, are you nervous? Are you fearful? Yeah, but that's okay because I learned to use it. Fooey. Now, why is that so important? Because Satan has to use the fear the same way, the opposite of how faith works. He must have you accept the fear, speak the fear, before he can bring it to pass. Lord, why did you let this happen? You need to pray something else. Lord, show me how it happened so it doesn't happen again. What was I listening to? What was I saying? Amen? Why is this so important? Here's the reason. God wants your words to be full of power. When they came to get Jesus, it's a joke that they didn't think. They actually thought they overpowered Jesus and took him. No. If it wasn't him going willingly, there's no way, no force, no army, no soldiers that could have took him. Do you not know I call down legions of angels? But when they came and he said, I am he, what happened? Whoosh. That's the kind of power God wants us to have in our words. He's looking for a covenant prayer army, people that are equipped where he can crank up the volume. The early church experienced it. Remember Simon? Pray, Peter. Pray to the Lord, perhaps, that he'd forgive me, that the things you have spoken to me won't happen. Why? Because he saw Peter talking and stuff was happening. He saw the power in his words. James and John said, Jesus, shall we call down fire on him? You don't think they said that because they didn't think they could do it. They knew they could do it. Jesus cranked them down a bit. You don't know what spirit you're from. Elijah did it to defend. John and James wanted to take revenge because they didn't show up to the meeting. See, God doesn't want us cursing a whole bunch of people who don't show up to the meeting with our words. Amen? Words. Now, here's your assignment for the training. Begin to use your words to control your flesh and your mind. Every day. Anybody up for that? One. Control it. It shall surely come to pass. Anybody else? That means you're taking the assignment like a soldier takes training and says, I am going to do this month, every day. I don't know what to say. Ask the Lord, he'll tell you what to say. Amen. How many are up in the Covenant Prayer Army yet? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four. You weren't here last time, so you're up. Pass out some cards to anybody that wants one. Four things. You'll pray. Okay? You'll be there when called upon. And we're not being unreasonable. We don't want to do that. You will maintain yourself like a good soldier. You'll take care of your faith. You'll take care of the shield of faith. You will learn to maintain yourself. You will tend the garden of your heart. You'll subdue it. You'll understand that stuff that's coming in here, I'm allowing to come in, and I have a choice, and I'm not going to let it come in. Amen? Prayer? Be there? Maintain and train yourself? Be willing to be equipped? You'll do the assignments? Am I doing the assignments because God's going to love me more and I'm going to be more righteous? No. And fourth, be in prayer where finances are concerned and just do what the Spirit of God tells you to do in the area of finances. And at time to times, we may put something out. No one's required to send monthly. We don't want a vow. We don't want a pledge. God is our total source. The reason why when you obey the Spirit of God in Philippians chapter 4, we're in covenant relationship, what God has called us to do, just the way they were with Paul, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. Not for us, for you. Paul said, not that I want the gift, but I want what accounts to you. Amen? So there isn't going to be any, we need this amount, and we need this, and appeals, and all that kind of stuff. We'll put out something we're doing. We're believing God for this. You pray your prayers. You hear God. Amen? And do what he tells you to do. And if a year goes by and you didn't sow any seed, you didn't give anything, don't worry about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Any questions? Any questions? I'll have to have George come up and answer the questions, so. No, George will answer the hard ones. What? There'll be verses. Most of the prayer, it will be based on the word or an answer to it from the word. We stick close to the word, real close to the written word. My prayer to the Lord, don't let me say anything. See, whenever you hear from the Spirit of God, one of the ways you know it's the Spirit of God, and you should know this, it lines up with the word. I've heard things. I say, Lord, give me scripture on that. Not that I don't trust him. I don't trust me. He'll give me one, and there it'll be. I used to go around saying this. I'll tell on myself. Man, that's really hard to believe. I was really saved when I did that. That's really hard to believe. And one morning, the Lord said to me, when are you going to stop that? I said, stop what? Stop that. And he said this to me, nothing is hard to believe when you know in whom you believe. This was years and years ago. And I said, I didn't ask him for a scripture because it sounded right there. But the next day, I'm going through 1 John, and it says, I know and in whom I do believe. See, you're only going to believe the word to the extent that you know God and that he's good for it. If Jesus came in here right now, he walked up here, Jesus, and he said to you this, you have my word on it. What would you do? Well, that's what this is saying. This is what God's saying all the time. Phil, you have my word on it. She's directing back there. We know who the orchestra leader is in the Weichel family. Lindsay, you have my word on it, okay? Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to begin to pray about one other thing. And I'm going to give you an example. Paul, when he went to Ephesus and he started the church in Ephesus, he went into the synagogue and he preached for a while, and some of the people believed, and as the law will always have it, they kicked him out and the disciples. Finally. Synagogues, Jewish synagogues, by the way, are the only place that preaches pure law and makes no bones about it. You toe the line, you do this or else. We, on the other hand, the Church of Jesus Christ and individual fellowship, we do the mixed thing. Law and grace, grace and law. Grace, a little bit of law at the end, and it ruins the whole thing. It's all by grace, through faith, a gift. Amen? He got kicked out, and he found a place in the school of Tyrannus. For 3.5 years, he preached 7 days a week from 11 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. 5 hours a day. And I haven't found in the Word of God yet where it said God was displeased because he spoke so long. Just a little too much word. Just a little too much teaching. Whenever that happens to you and you say, this comes to you, I wish he'd get done because I'm done, you take authority over your flesh and your mind and you tell it to shut up. Jesus preached 3 days. They forgot to eat. We got 2 hours tonight. Now you're going out there at least until Sunday morning, and you're going to get 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day of that garbage the world hands out. I told the Lord one day, I said, that's not fair. You expect this to happen and then they get 45 minutes, 45 measly minutes one time a week? And they're out there all week long and the devil has a shot at them all the time? And he said to me, use your faith for them. It'll work 24/7 even while you're asleep. I'm using my faith for you guys. Will you agree with me? And here's what you're agreeing with, that God will water all the seed that's ever been implanted in you, and the increase is sure. What does that mean, the increase? You're going to get a lot better a lot quicker because he's going to do it. And you're going to quit trying. I did the weight thing. I tried everything. I went to the Lord finally. Finally, I went to the Lord. It's great, right? Tried everything. I fasted 90 days. Drank that stuff. Didn't work. Went to the Lord finally and said, Lord, he said, are you done? Are you done? I said, I'm done. Remember the lady with the issue of blood, spent all her money, went to every doctor, went to Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm done. Good, be healed. Didn't chastise her. Didn't condemn her. Healed her. Are you done, John? Yeah, I'm done, Lord. How's it work? Here's how it works. I wish I had done that 20 years before. Lacking wisdom. I knew that he didn't show me one single principle in the Word I didn't already know. But I lacked the wisdom to take that and apply it to the situation. I'd applied it many times to so many other things. You see why wisdom is the principal thing? And you see why God has to show us each and every time how to defeat the enemy? Can you see that? Can you see that? One last scripture, I promise I'll let you go. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Anybody got it? Who's got it? Diane, read it loud.
So, by whatever appeals to you, there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging...
Whoa. Philippians 2?
Oh. Nope.
2:1. Who has it?
No.
Is it? Oh, you have the Amplified. Whoa. Amplified is great for study, I believe. I mean, you read what you want to read. Whatever works for you, don't let me. But I believe it's good for study. I just think it's a little wordy. All right. Anybody else who doesn't have an Amplified? Eric. No, I'm wrong. See, I do make mistakes. All right. That's what I want. Read it again, the last half.
To keep writing to you over and over the same things is not irksome to me, and it is a precaution for your safety.
It is for your safety that I say something 200 times. The same thing. What does that tell me? I can listen to the same verse of Scripture 1,000 times and it's better for me. Amen? So if the enemy comes to you and says, he already talked about that. I already heard that. That's the enemy. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Tell your mind to hush up and listen. Amen? Hallelujah. I need somebody, George, come up and close us in prayer. Also receive an offering too. I almost forgot to do that. Oh, wait a minute. Before you do that, make your announcement.
We have CDs back there. They're free. There's an offering basket. If you want to give an offering, you don't have to, but the CDs are there. Take one.
CDs in the back. There's website information. There's messages you can download on the website, too.
Father, we thank you for this time. And Father, right now we agree with the word that you have shown us tonight. We receive it into our hearts. Give us the grace to tend our hearts and guard them. And give us grace as we go forth from here. And Father, we offer to you our lives as well as our finances so that you can cause your increase in the earth today.
Where is the, it's back there. Eric, would you get that back there, the basket? Also, let me announce this. Friday night, 7 o'clock, down in Bensalem at the Crown Plaza, right? We're having the night of prayer. I know it's short notice. This is not an occasion where you have to show up. Don't even think about that. If you feel the Lord would like you to. And the reason why I'm doing it in Bensalem is because we have people from Philadelphia all the way up to Allentown that are getting involved in this area. So I'm trying to get a kind of a central location for this one time. The other thing is we're coming once a month. George in this area is doing an every other week meeting for a time of prayer and so forth. And we're going to put a schedule out for the next 4 months. And you'll get it in your email, and you'll get that information for the next 4 months through, somebody tell me 4 months, July, August, September, October, till through September. So you'll have it 4 months in advance when the monthly meeting will be. And when we come once a month, we have one meeting here, and we have another meeting down by Philly for those that are there and those that are up here. Most cases, it'll be Tuesday night here, Wednesday night there. Okay? Everybody got that? Any questions on that? Yeah, Friday. It's going today because we just decided today. Yeah, it'll be out tonight. You can see it in the morning. Have the address and all that. Yeah, the schedule, the calendar, everything will show up on the email. You can print out the schedule or whatever the case might be. Now, do not hesitate. Brother Don, he couldn't make it tonight. He called me, said he emailed us a prayer request a few weeks ago. His back got paralyzed. He couldn't move. And he emailed us and he said, I'm in agony. I can't, whatever. And it was a Saturday night. And we prayed and had a group down there that prayed. And Sunday night he emailed me back. And Brother Don, being Brother Don, says, I'm 99% healed. And I thought, 99. So what's that 1%, you know? But, and he was moving up, going back to work Monday, you know, that kind of thing. So that's part of it. When they cut the hole in the roof and they lowered the paralyzed guy down, Jesus saw their faith and healed him. That's stronger than one. So if you have a prayer request, whatever, email us, then we email that out. And you'll have 7,500 people praying right at that time for that. Okay? Because part of the covenant prayer army is we communicate. We're communicating. Cell phones, emails, Facebook, this, that. There's no excuse, is there? Paul, when Chloe's people went to see Paul, they were having trouble in Corinth. It was a 6-month journey to get to him at the peril of their life. Because he said they risked their life to get to me to let me know. We're living in a great time, amen? So let's take advantage of it all the time. Last thing. Any prayer requests that need to happen right now? Eric. I'm going to pray for you to have, you and Val, to have wisdom. Everybody agree? God is going to give them the wisdom to take care of these financial issues once and for all. Amen? No more living from one to the other crisis. He doesn't want us living that way. Amen? George, lay your hand on him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that in any situation, any problem, we can come to you and we can get wisdom from you. And Lord, we commit right now that whatever that wisdom is, we won't judge it. We'll do it. We'll carry it out. And Lord, thank you for giving Eric and Val wisdom in their finances. In the name of Jesus. And Father, give wisdom to every person in here. You know their heart. You know their worst situation that they may need wisdom for. Give them wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Now, if that's you, say amen. Amen. Can I command you to do something tomorrow? Would you mind? I want you to have a really great day. I command it. Thank you for coming.